And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about a Catholic priest. We're going to talk about Ben Shapiro and a conversation that he had with a Catholic priest, and we're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a video that is making the rounds on the internet where Ben Shapiro is interviewing a Roman Catholic bishop, actually not just a priest, but a bishop, Robert Barron. I've actually talked about Robert Barron on this radio program before. It's been several years, but he is certainly a prominent teacher within the Catholic Church. He's a very, very nice sort of guy. When you hear him talk, he has very, very polite delivery. This, I think, is the approach that the Catholic Church has taken in the Western world. Most certainly, you can see a lot of Catholic priests, they take a very, very friendly kind of approach, very laid back, because they want to be approachable and they want to ingratiate themselves into the culture, into a historically Protestant country. And they know that taking more of a stern, legalistic approach is going to have a negative impact. Now, of course, if you study the Jesuits through the Middle Ages, well, not really the Middle Ages, after the Middle Ages, through the Counter-Reformation, I should say, if you study their tactics, one of the things that F. Tupper Saucy talked about that they did when they wanted to get themselves into being father confessors for people across Europe, especially people in positions of power and prominence and wealth, etc. So what they would do is they developed a policy that as a father confessor, when they're listening to somebody confess their sins in the confessional, that they made it a policy and a point to always find a positive way to communicate. And no matter what somebody had done, to find a way to leave them feeling positive and uplifted when they left the confessional, and to make sure they end everything on a positive note. This was an approach that they took. And as a result, it is said that what happened was Jesuits became very, very popular, and everybody wanted a Jesuit to be their father confessor because, you know, whenever they felt horrible about what they had done, and they go to the confessional and they confess, well, here the Jesuit finds a way to spin this whole thing around and make them feel not too bad about it. Now, from what I can see, it does not appear that Bishop Barron is a Jesuit, but he most certainly makes reference to Vatican II in this conversation that we're about to listen to. He makes reference to Vatican Council II, which is a Jesuit doctrine, a Jesuit document, really, through and through. They're the ones who wrote it. They're the chief authors, the chief architects of Vatican Council II. And it's really based upon their philosophies that they had been fighting for hundreds of years. And really, the philosophies contained in Vatican Council II are said to be part of the reason why the Pope abolished them back in 1773, because they would continually blend Catholicism with outright paganism. And within a Catholic context, historically Catholic, even that was considered heresy. But the Jesuits would do it anyway, and it would get them into trouble. So with Vatican II, that ends up happening in a very direct way, where you read the writings of Vatican II, and we're going to let Bishop Barron actually explain these things. And when you hear it, it's just, I mean, it's unbelievable what he's admitting to, but that is Romanism. It's why you have pre-Vatican II Catholics. It's also why it's important to acknowledge that the official doctrines of Rome are flat out heretical, because Vatican II is the official doctrine of Rome. And this doctrine here, this universal toleration, this idea of blending all beliefs together and refusing to make a distinction between biblical Christianity and the paganism and the unbelief in the world, this is what is systematically subverting Western civilization. It's the reason why they argue you have to let socialists, communists, atheists, homosexuals, and Muslims all run for office, have access to power, have them teaching in the schools, and allow them an equal or greater place in the Western world than Christianity has. It's this doctrine. This is very important to understand, brethren. It's why Vatican II is so important. But once you know the history, you realize this goes back hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. And of course, we read about it in the Bible. I mean, the Jesuits didn't really invent this. You would read about this in the Old Testament, the blending together of the pagan beliefs with the worship of the one true God. But all right, let's listen to the first part of this interview that's happening with Ben Shapiro, who is Jewish. He openly admits that he is Jewish, talking to a Catholic priest, Bishop Robert Barron. Let's hear the first part.
So let's start with the most awkward of the awkward questions.
Yeah.
I don't really care about this question particularly much, but I get this question a lot, which is, you know, as a Jew, how does it feel that there are other religions that don't think you're getting into heaven? So let me ask you, what's the Catholic view on who gets into heaven and who doesn't? I feel like I lead a pretty good life, a very religiously based life in which I try to keep not just the Ten Commandments, but a solid 603 other commandments as well. And I spend an awful lot of my time promulgating what I would consider to be Judeo-Christian virtues, particularly in Western societies. So what's the Catholic view of me? Am I basically screwed here?
No.
Okay, so let's just analyze this first part with Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, of course, is doing what the average person does. This is why Ray Comfort in his ministry has people take the good person test. Are you a good person? And Ben Shapiro thinks he is a good person. He's promoting the commandments of God. He's promoting Judeo-Christian values. He believes he's not only keeping the Ten Commandments, but also this, he said, the 603 other commandments. And that is because the old Jewish law had, it is said, about 613 precepts to it. And so he believes that by keeping all of these things, he should be good enough to get into heaven. Now, it'd be interesting to know more about what Ben Shapiro actually believes, because many Jewish people do not believe in an afterlife. They're very much like the Sadducees that we read about in the New Testament. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And so you have many Jewish people who do not believe that there is a heaven or a hell or any of that, that you just, this life is really the extent of your existence, and then once you die, that's it. All right, so Ben Shapiro says, am I in trouble, basically? He uses a different word, but then the Catholic priest, Bishop Barron, says, no. He says, no. And then he goes on to explain the Catholic view. Let's listen.
The Catholic view, go back to the Second Vatican Council, says it very clearly. I mean, Christ is the privileged route to salvation. And God so loved the world, he gave his only son that we might find eternal life. So that's the privileged route. However, Vatican II clearly teaches that someone outside the explicit Christian faith can be saved.
Okay, so notice that he starts to make reference to something that sounds like the Bible, but he gives an edited version of John 3:16. He cuts out the part where Jesus says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What Bishop Barron said was that God gave his only son so that we might find eternal life. Very, very different. Very different. Because what God is saying, what Jesus is saying in John 3:16, he's saying God loved the world in this way, the way that many modern Christians interpret John 3:16 is that when Jesus says God so loved the world, they take it to mean that God loved the world so much. That's the idea. But that's not really what it says. What it says is it'd be almost like if somebody said, well, how did God love the world? And Jesus answered, well, God loved the world in this way. Here's how God loved the world. But what he says is, God so loved the world, he loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the way some people take that to mean, they take that to mean that God was just so madly in love with the world, that he loves the world so much that he's non-judgmental, and no matter what you do, God's going to love you no matter what. This is the way some people think. But that's not really what John 3:16 is saying. It's saying that whosoever believes in him should not perish. But of course, Bishop Barron, now he has to edit that verse so that he can find a way to accommodate an unbelieving Jewish man who simply does not believe the gospel. Unfortunately, we hope Ben Shapiro will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But based upon his testimony, yes, it does appear he is an unsaved man. But then he makes reference now, Bishop Barron, to Vatican Council II, and he says that people who are outside the gospel, that it's possible for them to be saved. Now, of course, that is completely contrary to what the scripture says. The Apostle Paul said in his writing to the Thessalonian church that those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be destroyed with everlasting destruction, ultimately. So obedience to the gospel, Paul said to the Athenians that God commands that all men everywhere repent. And that's really what Bishop Barron should have told Ben Shapiro. All right, let's listen to this next part.
Now, they're saved through the grace of Christ, indirectly received. So, I mean, the grace is coming from Christ, but it might be received according to your conscience. So if you're following your conscience sincerely, or in your case, you're following the commandments of the law sincerely, yeah, you can be saved. Now, that doesn't conduce to a complete relativism. We still would say the privileged route and the route that God has offered to humanity is the route of his Son. But no, you can be saved. Even Vatican II says that an atheist of goodwill can be saved, because in following his conscience, if he does, John Henry Newman said the conscience is the aboriginal vicar of Christ in the soul. It's a very interesting characterization, that it is, in fact, the voice of Christ. If he's the Logos made flesh, right? He's the divine mind or reason made flesh, that when I follow my conscience, I'm following him, whether I know it explicitly or not.
Okay, now, I will say this. If you ever are looking for an example somewhere of what is known historically as Jesuit sophistry or casuistry, that audio clip that I just played is probably the best example of it. Here you have this Catholic priest basically telling Ben Shapiro, even though you don't believe in Christ, if you follow your conscience, you can be saved and go to heaven, because ultimately it's Christ who is saving you, whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge him or not. And then he goes on and he says, even an atheist, according to Vatican Council II, an atheist, if he follows his conscience. And then he goes on to quote John Henry Newman, who we talk about in our films, who was behind, he was one of the chief leaders of the Oxford movement back in the 19th century. And here he's being quoted by a modern day Catholic priest who somehow or other saying that you can go to heaven without the acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's not what the scripture says. Not at all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Also, we have in Matthew chapter 10, Verse 32, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today we're talking about this interview between Ben Shapiro and a Catholic priest, a bishop named Robert Barron. Robert Barron. Now, right before the break, we were quoting from Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Then verse 34, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Now, think about what Jesus is saying here. I mean, the context of what he's saying when he says, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth, but a sword." Now, we believe that sword is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. But preaching the Word of God and preaching the name of Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Peter did before the Jewish leaders 2,000 years ago, think about what Peter said. Peter said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. When he's talking about how he healed a certain lame man, he says that it's in the name of Jesus Christ that this man who had been lame stands before you this day. And then Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, think about that in comparison to the testimony being given now 2,000 years later by a Catholic priest to a Jewish man who's inquiring, really, about what his condition is from a, well, he does say Catholic. He does say Catholic, and I mean, Bishop Barron is giving him the Catholic view according to Vatican Council II, but it's very clearly not the biblical view. It's not the view of the New Testament. It's not what the apostles preached to the Jewish people 2,000 years ago. Not at all. It's very, very different. I mean, think of how dangerous to go around saying that atheists who completely deny God, that if supposedly if they follow their conscience and that somehow or other Christ is a person's conscience, even as an unbeliever, that's not at all what the Bible says, brethren. The Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Paul, when he talks about the natural man, the man who is not yet reborn of the Spirit of God, that he has a carnal mind, and he says the carnal mind is at enmity with God, is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Why? Because the carnal mind, the natural mind of man, unregenerate man, is at enmity, literally the enemy of God. How then could a person's conscience somehow or other guide them in God's truth? It simply could not. All right, let's play a little bit more of this interview between Ben Shapiro and Bishop Barron. Listen.
So even the atheist, Vatican II teaches, of goodwill can be saved.
So is Catholicism act-based or faith-based? Because this has been sort of the traditional distinction between Judaism, for example, and Christianity, yeah. Is Judaism is a very acts-based religion where it's all about what you do in this life and that earns you points in heaven. And then there's the faith-based religions that are more based on you believe in the truth, the way, and the life, and now you're in. Where does Catholicism actually stand, or is that division too stark?
No, I would say it's love-based. God is love. God so loved the world, he sent his only son. We're being drawn into the divine love.
All right, so Ben Shapiro asks him, and he's talking kind of fast there, but what he's saying is he's saying acts-based, A-C-T-S. Really, he means works-based. That's what he's saying. And, you know, is salvation works-based or is it faith-based or whatever? And then you have Bishop Barron, his response is that it's love-based, supposedly. And then he's going to go on and explain, oh, well, you've just got to have the divine love and all this other kind of stuff. And it goes into a lot of this emotionalistic kind of thing. Here's the thing to remember, brethren, that's so important because this kind of thinking and preaching is certainly not unique to this conversation and to this particular priest. We hear this kind of thing all the time where people will go to the scripture that says, now abides these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, and they want to brush everything else out of the way and just say, well, as long as you love, and what they mean by it is, as long as you have some kind of emotional feeling somewhere. But that's not really what the scripture says. Remember 1 John 5:3. 1 John 5:3. Very important. It's very clear. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And you'll find that that is consistently communicated throughout the scripture, Old Testament and New. God says in the Old Testament, in Numbers, he says that whosoever sinneth of presumption, even that soul shall be utterly cut off because he has despised the word of the Lord and broken his commandment. If you despise God, if you hate God, meaning you will break his commands. In the New Testament, Jesus says, he that loves me is he who has my words and who keeps them. He it is that loves me. And he that loves me not, neither will he keep my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but from the Father who sent me. That's what Jesus says in the New Testament. So over and over again, Old Testament and New, obeying the Lord, keeping his commands, that is how the love of God is defined. It's not defined by just some emotionalistic feeling that somebody has. Now, of course, God is gracious, and when those who love him struggle and stumble, as we all do, God's grace is there to forgive us and to bring us to restoration. But it is not a license for us to walk in rebellion against him. That's where the world gets it wrong and turns the grace of God into licentiousness, as we read elsewhere. But there's no question that this conversation with a Catholic priest would be Exhibit A to anybody who is wondering whether or not the Catholic Church, at an official level, agrees with a biblical view of the gospel or the modern evangelical view, generally, that we're saved by God's grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's because we believe God's promises in the scripture. We believe the promises concerning his son. Yes, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is no promise for those who don't believe in him, brethren. That's the real message of the New Testament to the unbelieving world. And that is why they're called to repent and to believe the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to have to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.